Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service today. Welcome to those who are joining us online, and welcome to those who will watch later in the week. We are here to worship Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and to recognize his presence in our midst. Let's just pause for a moment to put ourselves in the right place, but also to remember those who cannot be with us today, for whatever reason. We thank you, Lord, that you know our hearts, you know everything about us, and you welcome us into this place today, and you welcome us into your presence. We pray that all that happens here this morning will bless your holy name, and that we will go out rejoicing in you. So I have a couple of notices to give you. All the notices are in the link, but just want to flag up two things particularly. The first one is that on the 11th of March, we have our church members meeting, and at that meeting, we will have an election of deacons. Chris Smith is going to stand for re-election for a second term, and Fiona Joel is standing for a first term. So you need to be aware of that. That will take place at the church members' meeting. The second thing that I would like to raise with you is that today is our mission focus for a new mission. The mission of the month this month is Generate. And we are glad to welcome Sean, the director of Generate, to join us this morning. A bit later on, she will be telling us a little bit about the work of Generate. But I would like also to point out to you that at the end of the service today, out in the lounge, there will be a biscuit sale. This is for donations towards the work of Generate. So when you leave here today, please go that way so that you can get your biscuits. And now I'll pass on to Charlotte and the musicians and singers to lead us in our song worship.
Everyone, welcome. Lovely to see such a full church this morning. Do stand if you're able, and we'll join in our worship together. Returning to you.
unto you. You.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever.
Grow weary. You're the you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you never change, you never fail. No matter what kind of week or a morning that we've had, Lord, you never change. You're everlasting. You don't faint, you don't grow weary, you never sleep. You're always by our side, and we just praise you for that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do please be seated.
He is the everlasting God. Hallelujah. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer together with actions. I hope you will remember the actions. I hope that I will remember the actions. I will lead you in the actions. Let's say these words together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The children are going to leave us in just a moment. They are going to go and do some work behind Cara Coffee in our church garden as a way of blessing God and blessing the creation that he has given us. But let's pray our blessing upon them as they go to do that. So, Father God, we thank you for the children who are part of this fellowship. We thank you for the people that they are now and the people that you are growing them to be. We pray your blessing upon them now as they go out to rejoice in the creation that you have given us, and as they seek to work with you in keeping that creation in the way that you would have it be. Bless them and the leaders who will be with them today, and may they draw closer to you as they work together for your glory. Amen. And we are going to move on in our time of worship by hearing from Sian, who is going to share with us about the work of Generate. And I think Liz is going to help her. So come on, Sian. We are so glad that you could be with us today. It's a delight to have you. I've seen you quite a bit just recently in and out of the office. But it's lovely for everyone here to see you and hear about the work you do.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. It's brilliant to be here to share a little bit more of what Generate do with you all. My name's Sian. For those of you that haven't met me yet, I'm the director of Generate, and we are providing opportunities for primary school age children to hear about and learn from the Christian faith. That's what Generate do. That's what Generate's mission statement is, and we do that very locally. We are only based in this part of Cambridgeshire, only going to schools in this part of Cambridgeshire. So we are very much a local charity, and we are brilliantly supported by churches like Great Shelford in doing that mission. But that is what we are seeking to do. And you may be sitting there thinking, well, I know a little bit about Generate already. I know that Generate go into schools to do assemblies. You may have been here when I've been, or Steve has been our previous director, to talk about the work of Generate before. And I'm sure that most of you will hopefully know something about it, being part of this church and being part of the support that the church gives to Generate. But today, I'm hoping that we're going to tell you a little bit about something that you may not know that Generate does. Because alongside the assemblies and alongside supporting schools with their collective worship, we also do workshops. We go into schools and we spend a longer time with a group of children looking at a particular theme. And one of the workshops that we're going to be looking at today is this workshop called Cool Choices. This is a workshop that has a completely different focus to assemblies. And it targets a part of the curriculum called PSHE, which stands for Personal, Social, Health and Economic. And it's the part of the curriculum where children are looking at their emotions and how to regulate their emotions, and mental health and well-being, and financial things that we need to know to do with our money and about being good financial, how we are good with our money. All of those sorts of things that the children learn at school that kind of make life lessons, basically. And that's what Cool Choices aims to do. It's a 2.5-hour workshop, and there are usually we do it with year sixes. There are two of us from the team at Generate that go in to do this workshop with the year sixes. And we have two tours that happen over the course of the academic year. We do one tour in September and then another tour in January. So we, at this point, have done most of the Cool Choices workshops so far this academic year. 27 schools have had one of these workshops so far. We are hoping that we might be able to fit a few more in over the summer term, but there are 27 schools in this area, of which Shelford is one of them, that have had a Cool Choices workshop this year. And I thought the best way to kind of show you a little bit more about what a Cool Workshop is about, the things that we say and the things that we do, would be to show you. So we're going to do a mini Cool Choices workshop for you this morning. So I'm going to pretend that you're a group of children. And we've just come into the classroom, and this is a flavour of the sorts of things that we would do. So as you can see, we are from Generate. You might recognise our t-shirts. And my name is Sian.
And I'm Liz.
And we're going to be here with you all morning to do a workshop on Cool Choices. Now, you might have been told already by your teacher a little bit about what that means, but we're going to be looking this morning at lots of different choices, some big choices, some smaller choices, and we're going to start off by playing a game this morning. We're going to play a game called Last Person Standing, but we're going to do Last Person with the Hands Up for the purposes of today. What I'm going to ask you to do in a second is to put your hand up. And I'm going to read some statements out. If those statements apply to you, I'd like you to put your hand down. And we're going to keep going until the last person has got their hand up. Okay? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, pop your hands up for me. Put your hand down if you walked to church this morning. Oh. Put your hand down if your favourite pepperoni, if your favourite pizza topping is pepperoni. Okay, put your hand down. If you've been part of a sports team, a team that have played sports at some point in your life. Oh, we're dropping like flies. Put your hand down if you would rather have a cup of tea over a cup of coffee. Oh, right, two left. Put your hand down if you don't like cake. Put your hand down if you've not ever seen a Generate assembly. You're thinking about it. We keep going until we don't have any people left, basically. And what that game shows is how we are all unique individuals. Because of the choices that we've made, we usually end up with one person left at the end, don't we?
We do.
And usually it's that person who says no to all of the statements that we give. And we usually have to end up by saying something like, sit down if you've chosen to wear trousers to school today. Or something that gets one of them sat down, because they love being the last person standing, as I'm sure you can imagine. But because of the choices that we've made, because of the choices that you've made, you are the last person with your hand up. because of those choices, because of the choices that I've made and the order of reading out those statements, because we are all unique individuals, and we are all unique individuals that are loved by a God and have a purpose in life. But those choices are quite small choices, aren't they? And we're going to move on to think about some of the bigger choices that we might have to make in our lives. And what I'm going to ask you to do in a second is to talk with those people sat near you to see if you can come up with what some of those really big life choices might be. And Liz is going to write them up on the board, and we're going to see if we can fill that piece of paper with big life choices. Usually we manage to fill a board with big life choices. I'm going to give you some to start you off. So a big life choice might be around your job or your career. So that might be
3 minutes left.
Thank you. Big life choice. This is a whistle-stop tour. You might also, about your appearance, choices about your appearance, about whether you get a tattoo or not. That could be a big choice. Anybody else got any ideas as you've been sitting there what the children might come up with? Big life choice. I can think of one. Religion. Faith. That's a big life choice, isn't it? Shout them out if you think of any. Marriage, yeah, definitely. That usually comes up.
Children
as well.
Who your friends are.
Yes, that's an important one as well, isn't it? Friendships. Yes, education choices. That's something that sometimes children think that we're going to be focusing on when we do this session. Choices around education, which forms part of it, but not the whole thing. Yes, yeah. Choices around faith. We come up with so many big life choices. And what we try and do is encourage the children to see that these are linked. That the choices that we have and the consequences of those choices that we have might affect other choices. So something that comes up sometimes is the law. Our choices around the law and whether we choose to keep the law or not. Obviously, if you choose to break the law, the consequence of which might mean you end up in prison, and your choices are severely limited then. You can't just go out and do what you want to do when you want to do it. That these choices are linked. And that's the kind of question that we are putting to those children. We give a Christian perspective as well. We talk about Nick Vujicic. And we need to flick on quite a few. There we go. And we ask the question, what one question would you ask to Nick? Nick, you might be able to see from that picture, looks quite physically different from a lot of people. He was born with a condition that means he's got no arms or no legs. But he is really inspirational about what he says. And he says to the children in this video clip that we watch with them, I found my strength, I found my purpose, and I want you to find yours. And we share how we are Christians. We have a faith, we have a belief in God. And because of that, we use that when we think about making big life choices. We use that to help us think about big life choices. And we throw that question out there for the children to do the same thing. We try and encourage them to think about what it is that they base their life on, what it is that they are going to look to when they come to make big life choices. And we end it like that. So I hope that gives you a little bit of a flavour as to what a Core Choices session is like. It's quite interactive.
It's very, and it lasts all morning, so this really is squeezed version. One thing that I just did want to say is that some of the sessions I've done, compared to the ones I did probably 5 years ago, I've had a lot of children now asking, shall I stay alive? Mm. Which is a huge shift in the last few years. And yeah, just something that really took me aback at first. So they are thinking very big questions.
Yes.
None of them said they wanted a vape or a tattoo, did they?
They didn't, no. Usually that comes up and we accept all the choices that the children say. No matter how strange, whether we've heard them before or not, we accept them all, put them up on the board, and then we talk about those later, don't we?
We do.
I stopped it for you.
You stopped it for us, right.
Yes.
We might be invited back then. Then if we go to 25 minutes, that will be it. You'll be out.
Yes. We would love to talk to you more after the service about what Generate do, about some of the other things. But I hope that gives you a bit of a flavour as to one of the ways that we work a little bit more closely with children and with schools to do something that's not just an assembly, collective worship to the whole school, but that's really kind of digging in and getting to grips with, well, what actually are these children learning in school? So, yeah, I hope that helps.
Yeah, I'm a Generate trustee along with Penny, and you might just not know that we're not the only people in the church connected with Generate. I have Janet, who stitches lots. How many little bags have you made, Janet? 200 a year, little drawstring bags to put prayer prompts in. We have Gillian, who's on our assembly team, and we're really just rejoicing that she's strong enough to go out into schools and do that again. We have Leslie, who's faithfully down every half term refreshing the prayer spaces at Shelford School. So you might think, I'm not an upfront assembly person, but there are plenty of jobs for you, and we always want more volunteers. But let's come now to a time of prayer for this month's focus charity. Father God, we do just, first of all, say a huge thank you, because in so many countries in the world, it would just not be possible to do what we do. And we are so grateful that we have the opportunity to go into schools and just introduce you to the children and say, this is who we are, this is who we believe, this is our friend that sees us through life, and we'd like to just introduce you to him so that they can choose whether to take a next step. So we just thank you for those hundreds of schools over the years that we have visited. We thank you for the residential weekend of Accelerate that was held just a couple of weeks ago, that those children who went, that would not be an end to it, but that those seeds of faith that were dropped into their hearts then might just continue to grow and flourish into a stronger faith. We thank you that even more schools are taking up the offer for a permanent prayer space, and we especially pray for Kennett School with their first one this term. And for Shelford, we continue to pray that the children would not just walk past that display, but would stop and think what it means. We continue to pray for Steve, our former director, still working for Generate, but very unwell. And we pray that you would just continue to restore him, help him to rest, and that you would just bring him back to strength and health. And looking forward, we think of the Easter tour coming up, starting very soon. We think of the children we have in our church here. We think of the Donker children at Fulbourne and the children in our school here in Shelford. We just pray that as each one of them sees a person from Generate, it would just gladden their heart for them to know that they're not alone, that there are other Christians, and what they stand for is the same thing. So we do just lift this charity to you and thank you again for it. Thank you for the opportunities we have, and we pray that you would just bless the work that is carried out in your name. Amen.
Well, do stand again if you're able to. You.
worship you. I worship you.
Sing that again.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you. Cause you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God. That is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you.
Of God, just quietly under your breath or out loud, however you feel comfortable, just pray them in your heart. Let's just worship God for who He is. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You're King of Kings, you're Lord of Lords, everlasting Father, you're the Prince of Peace, you're the Light of the World. Light in the darkness, Lord. You're the King of my heart. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you.
Just minister to you. Thank you, Jesus. Do please have a seat.
And another name, Our Father. So let's read together again from Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 5, about the Lord's Prayer. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This is then how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Amen.
Amen. We were going to move the lectern back, but I'm just going to move this to here, and I think it's going to be simpler, if that's okay. So, good morning and welcome. It's great to be with you, and it's great to be with you in the presence of God. Amen. And today we are continuing our theme of forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against you. Before I do that, when we sung one of our opening songs, get them to join. That's fine. No problem. When we were singing the song Strength Will Rise, many of you know it, and we sung that last chorus again, I certainly had a sense in myself, it says, you do not faint, you won't grow weary. Maybe there are some here who are feeling weary, and if that's you, God, let God be your strength. And don't go home. I'd strongly encourage you just to find someone from the prayer team or the leadership team just to stand with you and pray with you through that. But today we're focusing on the phrase, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. A short sentence, but a powerful one, often a difficult one at that. Because we all live in a more tolerant society, eh? But yet it feels like people have never been so easy to take offence and receive offence from things. Now, let me just find the clicker, because I think that is here, and I do need that. Now, we as Brits are very good at saying sorry. This pie chart gives you a flavour here. quite often will say sorry. The average British person says sorry 8 times a day. In fact, 1 in 8 people say sorry 20 times a day. You know what the interesting thing is, actually, if you look into the research and the studies, people from the UK are no more remorseful than people from other countries. What does that tell you? We pay lip service to the word sorry. So probably appropriate for our culture are Martin Luther's words, which said, how many people have prayed the Lord's Prayer 1,000 times in the course of a year? And if you were to keep on praying for 1,000 years, would never really have prayed it at all. Can you relate to that? Is there any meaning in the method? Now, a few months ago, I gave a sermon just before Christmas. And as when you're a speaker, it's excellent to have an analogy. It's even better to have a story. One up if you can have a story from your own personal experience. And just before Christmas, I gave a story about when I forgave a music teacher who was at school. You may remember that. If not, feel free to go back and listen. That was before I knew I was going to be talking on the subject of forgiveness. So I thought, oh, bother, I've used one of my great analogies. Never mind. But if you'd have asked me back then a few months ago, you would have said, oh, I may have said, well, I feel like I've sort of got some of this sorted. I feel like I know sort of something about forgiveness. Anyone that knows me, knows Charlotte, knows our family, knows in the last couple of months, we've had a few things that have really shaken us. And it's been a tough few months. And so I don't come here speaking from any pulpit of perfection at all. In fact, probably what you're going to hear is probably a more raw sermon. And, you know, it's great because there's that verse in the Bible that says God's power is made perfect in your weakness, right? So I just pray that what you hear may be from him today. Whether it's trespass or sin, whatever your tradition, the Greek word is aphene. It actually means to send away. I quite like that action we do on the Lord's Prayer, this forgive us our sins. It sort of symbolises that quite well. And what I want to do is just give you some headlines, really, this morning. You know, we could talk about forgiveness for a very long time, and I don't really wish to bore you to extinction, but the first point I want to say is forgiveness brings salvation, because at the heart of God is the desire to give and to forgive. This, I believe, is one of the primary outputs from God's primary colour of love and provides the backbone to God's entire redemptive plan. It is what caused Jesus to come to earth and die on the cross for us. And forgiveness is not easy. I would say turn, if you want to, Matthew chapter 9, verse 5. There's a story about Jesus healing the paralytic. Jesus says, for which is it easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to rise and walk? He forgives sins and he rises and walks. We don't understand. The redemptive process is a mystery. It is hard. But thanks be to God through Jesus that through the cross all things are possible. Forgiveness is possible and restoration is possible. And that's important because our sin is first and foremost against God. And so forgiveness is so central. There are many aspects of Christian faith that have caused denominations to split off, but one of the main cores that people tend to coalesce around is the forgiveness of sins. In fact, it's mentioned in the Creed, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. We talk about the sinner's prayer. This is the heart of the Christian faith. And in that sense, forgiveness is an event. I very much remember at the end of January in the year 2000, I was standing in a youth conference myself, and I remember that moment when I realised the forgiveness of God moved from my head to my heart. I knew it was true for me, and I knew there was something that shifted in my relationship with God. I felt reconciled. And as we become a Christian, that forgiveness is an event. It is through Jesus. 1 Timothy 2:5. There is one God, there is one mediator between God and humanity. It's not the self-help book that's in the bookshop. It's through God's Son, Jesus Christ, through whom we can be restored. And actually, for those of us who have been Christians a long time, there's nothing more thrilling than seeing somebody come to faith, particularly if it's someone you know, maybe someone you've been praying for as well. You get to mentor and help that person. It lights and relights the fire in our heart. That's why it's so important that we have to keep exercising our faith, strengthening the muscle of faith. So forgiveness brings salvation. Forgiveness, though, yes, it is an event, but it is also a process, because forgiveness doesn't stop when we become a Christian, but it unlocks freedom. And yet it can be so hard. Maybe it's something that you're aware of, that you carry in your heart. You can be a Christian, but you can still carry hurt and pain. And it can be something that you can be aware of, and it can eat away at you. It can almost act as like a spiritual heart disease. And there is so much more of the Christian faith that God wants us to experience, and sometimes forgiveness can get in the way. Now, I had a book that I meant to bring this morning called More, written by a chap called Simon Ponsonby. He's a vicar in Oxford. In fact, I had a chat with him last week, actually, but I've left the book at home, but I'm going to do my best to reenact the story. It's a story about a chap called David Du Plessis. He's a South African, and he was named or nicknamed by the Pope as Mr. Pentecost. And when he was younger, he asked to take the day off school so that he could seek God. I mean, imagine that. Imagine if our young people went to their teachers and said, let's have the day off school. You went to your boss and said, I'm going to take the day off. And he went into a barn and he prayed and he fasted and he sought God with all his heart. And nothing happened. Nothing at all. He was convinced there was more, but he wasn't sure what it was. A friend of his came to the barn and said, if you forgive that sin, then you will know the freedom. And immediately in his mind, he remembered a lie that he had told his parents some years before. And he went to his parents and he confessed that sin. And something shifted in that moment, and he experienced a real, real outpouring in his spirit, a real growth in his relationship. And he has since become responsible for merging and incorporating, interpolating the Pentecostal movement into the mainstream denominations. He was the general secretary of the World Pentecost Conference, I believe. But all of that freedom came from a confession of sin and an unlocking of freedom. And when we come and forgive, it's not about absolving somebody of guilt. It's not about saying it didn't happen, but it's about releasing that situation, that person, to God. And it's about refusing to live in fear and freedom. And I think Charlotte will join with me in saying that, having had a burglary about last month, we were very grateful to have Anne and Maria come to our house and pray. And not just them, we know that we've been upheld by many others in the congregation in prayer. But that act of speaking forgiveness to the people that did that, and actually furthermore getting to the point of blessing those people as well, that's hard. That's really hard. And I'm not saying this as somebody who has completed that journey. This is something that often has to be done again and again. Going back to that story I shared before Christmas about my music teacher, it was a story where I had to forgive him pretty much every day for 3 or 4 years. And sometimes there's a quote from Corrie ten Boom that says, God, make me willing to be willing to forgive. Because sometimes it's not something we want to pray. If you follow forgiveness as an emotion, it will be lacking a little bit like love. The emotion can sometimes be true, but it's not just about an emotion. And actually, I believe that the prayer of forgiveness through gritted teeth is actually a precious prayer. And it's a raw prayer. look at the Psalms. God loves rawness. He loves reality. The rocky road to forgiveness enables us to taste the sweet fruit of God's good and perfect will for our lives. Let me say that again. The rocky road to forgiveness enables us to taste the sweet fruit of God's good and perfect will for our lives. Because where there is forgiveness, there is freedom. And as Christians, we want to live in freedom. When we come and confess our sins, and we come to the foot of the cross, it's important to leave them there. I think sometimes as Christians, we've got a habit of confessing our sins at the cross. We've done that, and I'm just going to get on with my day, and I'm just going to pick that back up and take it with me again, because I'm not sure I'm quite ready to let it go. Some people like to, when they're confessing sins, they like to write them down on a piece of paper and then rip them up and leave them there as a symbolic sign. Forgiveness is a one-way ticket. Notice in the Lord's Prayer, it comes before deliver us from evil. There's a sense there of don't go back to it once you've forgiven. The third thing I just want to say is forgiveness enables us to keep us clean, because yes, it's an event, it brings salvation. It's a process. Sometimes there are deep things we have to work through our Christian lives. But there's also a sense, a little bit like we take a shower most days, that we need to keep forgiveness as a regular exercise and practice. Although we are clothed proverbially in that robe of salvation, the white robe, when we walk down the street, we pick up mud during each day. It's important to keep short accounts. Any gardener would say weeds are a lot better tackled when they're young, a lot easier to get out. And it's a corporate thing in that as well. James 5 verse 16 says, we confess our sins to one another. He is just trying to find it now. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Christianity is not a one-player game. The devil likes to build up walls. Forgiveness breaks down those walls and brings unity. So I'm just going to give a couple of tips. How do we do this practically? How do we forgive? I think there's an aspect of listening. Love that verse we have at the very top, be still and know that I am God. How true and how much we need that in our busy and loud lives. We need to come and we need to be still and allow the Holy Spirit to come and pinpoint specific things. Actually, I believe that is a great way of discerning whether something is from God or something is from the enemy, because often if you come and you give him the space to speak, if there's any sin that's blocking your relationship with him, if it's the Holy Spirit, often it'll be something specific. If you just get a nebulous feeling of guilt, often that's the enemy. We need to be listening. We need to be proactive. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. It denotes proactive. If you look through the Gospels, look at the behaviour of Jesus, you don't often see him waiting and sitting there. You see him going out. So we need to model the way that he went out and forgave people. It may mean getting our spiritual armour on. Remember that song we did in Cafe Church the other week? I'm going to get my God suit on. Helmet of faith, the belt of truth around my waist. Won't do anymore. You remember that. We need to be proactive. And we need to make sure when we forgive others that we let go of the conditions as well, because Jesus gave us with no conditions. There was no strings attached to that forgiveness. So if he didn't attach any strings, how dare we attach strings when we forgive other people? So I'll forgive you if. Otherwise, in Matthew 18, it talks about the parable of the unforgiving servant. I won't read the whole thing. Matthew 18, verse 21. Remember the story of the unforgiving servant to whom his master forgave him a big debt? And then he went out and found a servant who owed him a much smaller sum and beat him into submission. Let us not be like that. It needs to be regular as well. We've got to keep short accounts. How many times do I forgive? Peter said. What did Jesus reply? 7 times 77. Do you know what? If that was once a day, 7 times 77, it would take you a year and a half. It took me over 3 years for that music teacher, and there are other things. You know, maybe there's, whether it's somebody, it doesn't have to be somebody, it can be a process, can be a thing. Yeah, it can actually be yourself sometimes, you've got to forgive. But sometimes there can be such hurt. It can be, maybe there's somebody for whom if they walked in through the main door of church, you would want to leave out of this door as quickly as possible. Maybe there's a work that God wants to do. God, make me willing to be willing. And be specific as well. I think sometimes it's easy to say, I forgive X, I forgive Y, whatever it is. I actually think a more specific prayer can be more useful. I think that's a principle that can apply to prayer as large. I think if our prayers are in alignment with God, the more specific they are, the more you know they've been answered. I think there's a parallel with forgiveness, and I think that's really important because that helps us to build testimony. It helps us to grow. It helps us to get to that point of forgiveness and freedom that we want. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can put that another way. A well-known Christian writer, Richard Foster, wrote a book on celebration of discipline. He says, we do not have to make God willing to forgive. In fact, it is God who is working to make us willing to seek his forgiveness. Nothing wrong with God. He is unchanging. So I just want to give the opportunity, as we come into land, just to have a space of no more than 30 seconds or so, just for us all to be quiet. And just to take that opportunity to listen and see, is there anything that we got to get right? And it could be something that you need to get right with God. It could be something that he puts on your heart you need to go and do something about after church. Either way, it's fine. And, you know, this is the business end of faith. The reason we want to do this is because we want to walk in greater freedom. If we walk in greater freedom, we're enabled to carry more of the Holy Spirit out into the community. We want to receive the forgiveness so that we can forgive and bless and love others. So we're just going to give a short amount of time. You can close your eyes if you want. You can put your hands out if you like. It doesn't really matter. They're symbols. It's about how your heart is with God. And we're just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and just see if there's anything that we need to get right. And then I'll ask Charlotte to lead us into our final song. Father God, would you come? You are here already. We believe and we love you. And if there is anything that we are aware of, maybe we're not aware of, stuff that's blocking us walking in greater freedom with you, for anyone who doesn't know you here, there's the opportunity to ask forgiveness for the first time and have that event of becoming a Christian. For those of us who are a Christian, it's not about becoming a Christian again, but it's about cleaning up that white robe. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. Charlotte's going to lead us in our final song. I would just say if you feel any, there's been any business done, you know, there's people here who can stand with you. Sometimes it's good to do that. Amen.
And if you need longer than that 30 seconds, do feel free to remain seated in this song and just let the Lord minister to you, chat to him and tell him what's on your heart. Do stand if you're able.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like the flood his mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, his word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God who called me here below will be forever mine. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like the flood, his mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we've first begun. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace, unending love, amazing.
a joy it is to be in the presence of God, to know his love and his forgiveness. And may you be strong to grasp with all God's people what is the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of Christ, and to know it, though it is beyond knowledge, so you may attain to fullness of being, the fullness of God himself. Amen. So please do stay and join us for coffee. Do come and buy some of the biscuits that are on sale. If you feel you would like to talk to somebody about something that God has been saying to you today, please don't leave this building without doing so. And bless you all, everyone.